This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. Coming up this hour, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Mark Teixeira, former Major League Baseball All-Star, will join us to discuss the World Series between the Rays and the Dodgers. That's getting underway this week. You know, it is an interesting week in sports, to be honest with you. Tonight, we got two Monday night football games, Chiefs and the Bills. Both teams are 4-1. And the Cardinals taking on Dallas, and the Cowboys trying to move on past Dak Prescott, so Andy Dalton will be taking over. And Kyler Murray has the Cardinals sitting at 3-2 on the season. But also, this is game week for the Big Ten as they get ready to start the college football season. So you've got that, plus the World Series, plus more, you know, as the NFL goes into week number 7, it's all coming, it's all folding over. I was watching the Alabama-Georgia game over the weekend, and that one got out of hand in the second half. It was one of those games where it looked good, a good battle of sort of these SEC Titans, 2 versus number 3. They don't play too much, but, you know, this was a great matchup on the calendar. And then Alabama put it into an extra mode, shut out Georgia in the second half, pulled away. They got 4 touchdowns from Mac Jones, and they won that game. And it's one of those college football games that you go, okay, what does this actually mean? Like, is Georgia, even though they failed in the second half of this game on the road, what exactly do I take out of it? And I know they were talking about JT Daniels coming in to play quarterback, but I don't know yet. I just, there's something about this college football season where there's so much unknown, and I don't know why that is. I get a text message from a friend of mine who always wants me to give him like advice on bets that he wants to make for college football. He doesn't follow college football at all, but he likes to bet on it. And I told him flat out, this is the hardest year for me to sort of handicap. It feels like I'm not 100% sure where teams are coming and going. Arkansas, for example, is a perfect example of this. Arkansas has, without question, the hardest schedule in college football by a mile. This team should go 0-10. They were terrible last year. They're under a new head coach in Sam Pittman. But they're not. They're not terrible. They're actually 2-2 and could have been 3-1 in that game against Auburn, which there was a kind of a controversy on a down ball. That's college football for you. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We'll get more into the NFL Week 6, and Mark Teixeira will join us all this hour.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Monday edition. Before we get to the good of the day, today every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for a twice-a-day temperature reading. So protect your family with the Exergen Thermoscanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospital, physicians, and clinics. That is the Exergen Thermoporal Scanner. All right, let's get the good of the day, Mr. Ron Culver.
Oh, have I got a good one for you? I think we talked about this a while back, but I took some time off. I was stuck on an airplane.
That's right.
The only thing I can really do on an airplane to pass the time is binge watch.
Ah, very good. What did you binge watch? Now I'm excited.
Ted Lasso.
Oh, is that good? I heard it's great.
Oh, my God. If you're a sports fan, watch Ted Lasso.
I heard it's fantastic.
If you're a Jason Sudeikis fan, watch Ted Lasso.
Love him.
If you're neither, watch Ted Lasso. It'll change your mind about both.
How do you get that? Is that on Amazon?
No, that was through Apple TV.
Apple TV.
But okay. Apple TV is free, I think,
right now
or something. Yeah, I don't know. For some weird thing, I don't know. Then they have a bunch of other great shows. Ted Lasso, basically what Ted Lasso is, I mean, we all know the premise of the story. He's an American football coach who gets
hired. Hold on. We all don't know the premise of the story.
The premise of Ted Lasso is he's an American football coach, college football coach, who gets hired to coach an English Premier League team.
Oh, how did that happen?
It's, I don't want to, it's, kind of a,
is there an explanation as to, well, or do they just assume you'll just bypass how he got the job?
There's kind of a major league situation going on.
Got it.
If you catch my drift, where
perfect,
you know, the owner
perfect
wants her team to tank type of thing, and that makes blah, blah,
sense.
Blah. But there's, you know, it's, but you watch this. I mean, first of all, it's funny watching an American football coach because, you know, it's a character he created when NBC first got the English Premier League. And he was popping on all these different sports, you know, whether it was college football.
Okay.
Or whether it was, I can't remember the other thing he kept popping on. And was like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I know college football. And because he does this, like, Kansas accent. It is fantastic. I cannot, I'm itching to watch it again.
That's awesome.
I've never had a TV show where I was like, I mean, I really enjoyed Cobra Kai, but when Cobra Kai ended, I was just like, okay, I'm ready for the next season. This one, not only am I ready for the next season, which will, I think, come out in, I don't know when it's going to come out, but I am itching to watch it again.
That's
it
great.
It was just that much fun. And
awesome.
It's comfortable. It's not annoying. You know, I mean, it's not one of those where you start to feel uncomfortable during, you know, when you're watching a show, like, oh, God, I don't know if I feel for the hero right here. It's funny. All the characters in there make the show amazing. I'm giving it two thumbs up.
All right. Ted Lasso. Apple TV.
Take
good stuff.
You got to do it.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day was something I saw while I was in LA. And I said, you know what? I got to bring this up because we have to address this. This happened over in Taiwan.
Okay.
It's a former Red Sox player, or former Red Sox prospect, I should say. He pulled the, well, I'll let you listen first, and then I'll explain what it is.
Still tied at two, and this one drives straight away to center, giving chase. This is the interception, and this was caught?
No, it's gone.
No, it's gone. The solo shot by Pan Jiekai. The go-ahead run now scored 3-2. The home solo shot to start the inning, to break the tie in the bottom of sixth inning.
He caught the baseball.
Did he caught
it? He caught the baseball. Wow. He deked all of us.
Yeah, I think it's a catch. But you say it's a home run.
Well, based on his facial reaction,
is it caught or not?
I don't think anybody knows. I think they're going to challenge this one.
Is he the smile?
But now he's smiling. Wow.
It's a cat for everybody.
Yeah, he definitely fooled everyone.
So he caught the ball, pretended he didn't catch the ball.
Right.
The guy was able to run around the bases as if he hit a home run, and then at the last minute went, nah, I'm just fooling you. I caught the ball. You're out.
Yeah. That's basically how it is.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, it's pretty good, but I mean, where's baseball old man on this one, right?
Baseball traditionalist
saying, oh, that's against... I mean, I know it's in Taiwan. They don't have the same, you know, humor as we do over in the States. But basically, it was, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Che Hsan Lin, a center fielder. He was for the Fubon Guardians. He was a Red Sox prospect back in 2012. He goes back to the wall, leaps over. He actually makes the catch, robbing a home run. But when he comes down, the ball's in his glove. You can clearly see it. But he's just walking back like he missed it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't throw the ball in until the guy has already rounded second. So his back is to that guy. And this guy is happy. He is so
well, he pulled off a coup here. He pulled off a prank.
No, I'm saying the hitter, the batter.
Why is the batter happy?
Because he's sitting there pumping his fist, and this is before he realizes that that he was robbed of a home run.
Right, but wait, when you say he's happy because he thought he had a home run?
He's happy. I'm telling you, he's rounding second, right? And the ball still hasn't been thrown in. The guy is still acting. He's just like sauntering back, like almost moping that he missed it. And this guy's like pumping his fist, like, yes, I got a home run. It almost looked like this might have been his first home run ever. And it isn't until he crosses home plate, he's high-fiving his teammates that, you know, somebody goes, oh, no, I think he caught it.
So he wasn't happy. He was only happy that he hit a home run.
Then all of a sudden, it was disappointment.
Of course.
And so it's bad because, I mean, is...
Yeah, I was going to say, why is it bad? It sounds like, is it a bad no, because of that he shouldn't have pulled the prank off?
It's bad because, what's the word I'm looking for? Is this kind of trickery? Was this kind of shady?
It is kind of shady, to be honest with you. Yeah. Shit. I mean, like, why would you do that?
I love it, but at the same time, like, God, I just feel horrible.
Yeah, well, what's the upside to doing it?
I don't know.
Like, it's one thing if you pull the old Bad News Bears, tag them out at first base ball trick, right? It's one thing like that. Or if you fake the throw and the guy acts like he, oh, my God, that went over my head, and the runner starts going.
Yeah.
Okay, we can have arguments of whether or not that's good sportsmanship, but, you know, it's part of the thing. This doesn't seem to have
a... That's where I'm going.
It doesn't have...
That's the word I was looking for.
It doesn't seem to have a like, there's no purpose behind it. Like, he's not getting an extra out, or he's just being kind of jerkish. Like, oh, you thought you hit a home run? Nah, I caught it. I caught it the whole time. I made you feel like you hit a home run, but I caught it. Like, that's the only reason he did it, was to be kind of like rubbing it in his face. You know, it's like taking a kid out for ice cream and like, we're going for ice cream. Nah, we're not. We're going back home. And the kid's crying in the car. There's no reason to tell the kid we're going to ice cream if you're just going to turn around halfway there, right?
Exactly.
Like, you've got nothing out of it other than maybe a personal laugh.
It reminded me, what it kind of reminds me of in a way is kind of like, you remember Deep Thoughts? Kevin Nealon used to do Deep Thoughts.
Yeah, right, yeah.
One that always sticks out in my mind was like, yeah, you know, my uncle once drove me by an abandoned warehouse to tell me that Disneyland had burned down.
Burned to the ground, and I cried and cried. Yeah. I remember that. Then he goes, then I thought about taking him to the real Disney World, but it was getting late.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that. It's like,
right.
There's no positivity out of this. It was just like, I fooled you. I mean, unless there's something going on between these two.
Right. Completely.
You know, that we don't know, that maybe there's...
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah. Right. It is a funny video.
That is cool. That's cool. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. We've done stories like this before. But people are angry that the WNBA's Sue Bird makes $30 million less than LeBron James, despite having similar contracts.
I don't know. Don't know why we're doing this.
And literally, somebody put this out on Twitter, put a meme out there, and they literally are identical when it comes to what they have done. You know, 17 years, 4 titles, all these different 4 MVPs, but Sue Bird makes, you know, like $230,000 a year. LeBron makes, you know, well over $30 million a year. And everyone's like, ah. They should be paid equal.
I don't. What are we teaching our kids? How are we teaching our kids that is somehow,
I mean,
economically equivalent?
It's, you know, here's the deal. It has nothing to do with their abilities on the court.
It has nothing to do with anything else but marketability.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do. Like, look, when we were having the debate about the men's pay versus the women's pay, there was a little bit to the in soccer, right? When
right.
we were talking about the women, the national team and the men's national team, we knew that the economics were different, right? The men's soccer team was in an economic system that generated more money, but you felt like there was something wrong because the women were selling out all these arenas and they were really popular. And
yes,
like there was something about that made you go,
been definitely more successful.
There's something about that doesn't feel right, you know? Like, having a little girl who grew up loving those women, and I've taken her to a couple of the games, it's like, my God, there's so many people here. This place is packed. This thing sold out in a day. But with the WNBA, the writing is kind of on the wall, right? I mean, about the two differences between the two leagues, you know, the popularity of the two leagues, the global popularity of the two leagues.
Here's the thing. I mean, and I think it might be largely forgotten. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think the WNBA was the first professional sports league to come back.
I think it was, to be honest. Yeah. Wasn't it?
I think it was, but none of us care. None of us. It was never. I mean, it's not that we don't think that these women are talented athletes. It's just that there's no watchability.
It's just,
we're just not into it.
It's just the economics. Trust me. If you reach an economic point where you're generating billions of dollars in revenue, she'd be paid accordingly. Trust me. I believe in that economic system. I believe in that free agency, the market. Like, if she was going to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars to a franchise, she would be paid accordingly. It's just, we're not in a point. I'm not saying it's not down the road. It's just not today. It's not today.
Yeah.
It's silly. It's silly when people make these. I mean, it's because it's hard because when you try to make the counter argument to it, you sound like a misogynist.
But it's not that. It has.
It's again, not it's that. Like, it has everything to do with economics.
It has nothing to do with us talking about, you know, their abilities on and off the court.
Right.
You know, and it's not trying to compare like, oh, you know, well, if those two played 1-on-1, LeBron. It's not even that. We're not talking about that. It's just, it's, you know, who watches your sport more? NBA is a global sport. I don't think China is up in arms if a general manager of a WNBA team spoke out against China.
Sure. Exactly. You
know, but they're laying claim right now that the reason why Daryl Morey resigned was because of them.
Yeah, and a lot of the NBA teams either break even or losing money. It's supported by the NBA, the NBA owners.
Or they're being funded by the NBA team, because I know that was happening with
There's some individual owners, but there's
the Sacramento Monarchs.
Yeah, some NBA teams own the WNBA franchises, some aren't. I mean, it's a different economic structure, but it's not. Yeah, it's kind of too bad because you know why? You know what it does? Instead of looking at Sue Bird's accomplishments and saying how wonderful they are and how important they are for women's basketball, it gets compared to LeBron James and it diminishes them because then you go, oh, look at that. She's not even financially compensated for that. It's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we continue along, Mark Teixeira will join us. We'll preview the World Series that's coming up in 15 minutes as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. As we continue, Mark Teixeira will join us, former Major League Baseball All-Star, will help us preview the World Series. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know, Randy Arozarena of the Rays came over from Cuba, left Cuba 5 years ago.
That's too many R's, by the way.
Yeah, Arozarena. He was
from the Rays, Randy Arozarena.
He landed in Mexico on a small boat, left Cuba on a small boat, landed in Mexico, and was in one of the development academies there. And he came to the Rays from the St. Louis Cardinals, 25-year-old rookie. And he's been dominating this postseason. One of the reasons the Rays, they're in the World Series, because it's been his bat pretty much.
Yeah.
It begs the question, do we have this fundamental belief that in the end, talent just finds a way, kind of like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
The talent just finds a way. Like, that is, I mean, you wonder how many,
noticed.
Yeah, like you wonder how many talented baseball players. I had a friend of mine challenge me on this because I was, he was doing that. We have this debate. It was a friend of mine from church, and we have this debate every now and then about salaries, athlete salaries, right? And, you know, I'm on the record as saying, look, I don't care. I don't mind a quarterback making $30 million a year. He's in a multi-billion-dollar industry, and he's one of about 20 people on the planet that can play this position really, really well. If you're good enough to make $30, $35 million a year, you're in a very small group of people. But his argument has always been to me, how do we know he's one of 20 people around the world that can play that position really well? Like, we don't know if there's people in other countries that can play quarterback really well. And I said, yeah, but we just haven't found them. And it's the same. You wonder how many talented people, how many talented baseball players have just never found a way to get discovered, just lived their lives, had the talent that you would not believe, but could not get noticed, never found a way to get noticed. The world is a smaller place, but Randy Arozarena found a way to get out of Cuba, get into a development academy in Tijuana, and then, like, you know, his story of sharing batting gloves and cleats and, you know, sleeping on cots and whatever. And now he's playing in the World Series 5 years later. Think about where you were in 5 years. What would be the equivalent to where you are today 5 years ago to Randy Arozarena on a small boat in choppy, dangerous waters trying to get freedom to play baseball? Like, think about that.
Yeah.
5 years ago, he's on a boat. 5 years later, he's in the World Series. Not only is he in the World Series, he's a major star in the postseason.
With a bright future.
With a bright, huge bright future. Exactly. Exactly. And you hear these kind of stories, and they're really great stories, right?
But I think what you're saying, like where talent just finds a way, he knew that he had a special skill.
Right.
For such time.
Had to go.
Equate it to a musician. You know, I mean, now.
Somebody on, you know. Knows I can play guitar or saxophone or something really well. And I got to go do this.
I just need to get in front of someone.
Yeah, exactly.
I just need to have someone hear my demo or something like that. And I'm not saying you got to go full. Remember that movie Airheads with Brendan Fraser? Like you got to go hijack a radio studio or you know kidnap everyone.
Right.
But there, how many? You know, just picture how many musicians. Like you hear all the soft stories, especially with all these reality singing competitions now about how this person got turned down, that person got turned down, and this and that and. You know, they've thought about giving up, but then this, you know, American Idol came along and I'm going to give it one last go and they, you know, make it.
Yeah.
You know, I believe there's a lot of those stories out there and, you know, it just takes, you know, you have to, what do they always say? Like, you know, when these guys are up in front of us, like, you just can't give up on your dreams. You know, just don't take no for an answer. You just got to keep going, got to keep going.
Yeah, and it's very bizarre because...
I think you find that in sports where this guy was in Cuba... And Cuba's a good baseball town. Now, you know, I'm going to argue with your friend that, you know, how do we know that we haven't found, you know, there's not another person out in the world that can play quarterback? It's because, you know, we're the only country that does.
We're the only country that does, exactly, yeah.
So but, we know where the talent lies.
When I was in minor league basketball back in my late 20s, I mean, it was probably one of the greatest basketball educations I've ever had. And I tell you right now, the 2 years that I spent there, and I've always said, financially stunk because we didn't know if we were getting paid. Sometimes checks wouldn't come in.
Right.
But I was young enough to survive that. But the education I got in basketball, it was second to none. We were putting together an American minor league system, right? The NBA had the CBA and whatnot, but we were trying to really put together a minor league in America because too many of the talented players that couldn't make it to the NBA were playing overseas and we thought we'd keep them home. But I will never forget a coach telling me, he said, look, Tony, he goes, in the end, we will find those guys. Look, they can go play in Paraguay. They can go play in Greece. They can go play in Russia. We will find them. We know how to find them. There is a system in place that if you are killing it in Buenos Aires, we know about it. We just do. You know, there's just too many eyes on the globe to find talent that to get unnoticed. There's just too many people whose job it is to make sure every stone is uncovered, right? Is finding talent. But sometimes in a case of Randy Arozarena, you have to individually, you have to go make a move. You have to take a risk. You have to get out of your current circumstance if you're going to make it. We tend to like those stories. We tend to really love those stories. We love hearing about the PGA golfer whose parents couldn't buy clubs and he had a mixed match set and missing a 6-iron and he didn't have a driver. And yet at the age of 10, he won the junior championship at the club. We like stories like that rather than the country club kid that worked just as hard, practiced every single day, but had opportunities that others didn't. We tend to gravitate towards the underdog story. This is an underdog story in a way. This is a guy who at 20 years old, I mean, it's not like he crossed over by boat at 12 with his dad, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Like he was an adult who said, I have to get out of here. If I don't get out of here, I'm going no place. I've got to get out of here. And 5 years later, he's going to be in the World Series. That is a great story. And I know that story. There's a whole bunch of those like that, right? There's a whole bunch of them. That are like that, but every time they pop up, we tend to really appreciate them. We tend, you know, it's the same in soccer, right? The poor kid in Argentina that's kicking a ball of socks around.
Yep,
it's the only thing he has, and he ends up being in the World Cup at 18 years old. I mean, those are great. Those are great moments.
We've had those moments all the time.
All the time. All the time. So when you're watching the World Series, our point is when Randy Arozarena, now you know a little bit more of his background. And now you can probably watch it if you're a neutral observer to the series. You can watch it with a little bit more appreciation for what he's done. Mark Teixeira is going to join us next. Speaking of the World Series, where did the Rays come from? What about the Dodgers in this third attempt to capture a World Series title? Who has the edge? It's all coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, with the World Series is upon us, Tampa Bay and the L.A. Dodgers. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Mark Teixeira, Major League Baseball All-Star, helped to preview the World Series. But also, 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. And in honor of Men's Health Awareness Month, the Depend brand is partnering with Teixeira and the Prostate Cancer Foundation for the Stand Strong for Men's Health campaign, an initiative to raise awareness and celebrate the strength of men taking charge of their health. Mark Teixeira joins us here on Sports Map Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the initiative to help raise awareness, as I talked about earlier, and the important conversation about men's health.
Yeah, I'm just really excited to partner with Depend on the Stand Strong for Men's Health initiative. You know, 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, so this is something that is going to be very close to a lot of men out there. And unfortunately, you know, the major side effect of prostate cancer is incontinence and caused by the treatment. So I'm just partnering with Depend to make sure that we destigmatize those issues and know that there's people out there to support.
And with the World Series upon us, before we get to the matchups, Mark, let's talk a little bit about COVID baseball and your perception of what the league had to do in order to get the season in. Is there elements of what we've seen during this 60-game season and even postseason that you might or may like to see down the road? What about these 7-inning doubleheaders, the runner at second base in the extra innings, an extra playoff team? Are those elements that you'd like to see going forward, or is this a one-shot deal?
Well, there's a lot to unpack in 2020 in the Major League Baseball season, but there are a few things that I'd like to keep. I would really like to keep the DH. I think we're done watching pitchers hit. Nobody missed it. I know the pitchers didn't miss it. It's going to keep them healthier and keep the game a little bit crisper. So I'd like to see the DH stay. I'm not a huge fan of putting a runner on second base in extra innings. I wouldn't mind seeing tie baseball games. And the reason I wouldn't mind to see that is games are too long. And so when you talk about games, I mean, these playoff games are getting to be 4 hours long for a 9-inning game. And that's just getting ridiculous. So I wouldn't mind keeping the 7-inning doubleheaders as well for the same issues. You know, we want to keep these guys healthy. So actually having 7-inning doubleheaders would allow for more off days, maybe not playing so much while you're traveling. Those cross-country flights can be brutal, and then you're playing the next day. So, I mean, I think there are some things that we can keep. And, you know, the DH, the 7-inning doubleheader, I think is good.
So let's get to the World Series. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Rays. They've bucked the trend over the last couple of years. They're not a huge spending team, and yet they find themselves in the postseason, and now they find themselves in the World Series. What about the way the Rays plays impresses you the most?
Well, it starts with their pitching and defense. And, you know, they're not going to knock the cover off the ball. During the regular season, they were 12th in baseball. So they're kind of middle of the pack offensive team. But what they can do is pitch and play D. And, you know, when you look at guys like Charlie Morton and Tyler Glass now and Blake Snell, they have 3 top-line starters. They have huge arms in the back of the pen with Castillo and Fairbanks, a bunch of guys in the middle that can get outs. And they just always seem to be in the right place defensively. I mean, if you look at that Astros series, there were tons of balls that the Astros hit that you're like, oh, that's a double or that's a single or that's a base clearing ball in the gap, and there's a Rays player standing right there. So I think it starts with their pitching and defense. They have been hitting more home runs this postseason, but I don't think you can really rely on that against the great Dodgers pitching staff. So they're going to have to continue to pitch.
As a person that spent 14 years in this league and somebody who now commentates on this, on baseball, and knowing the economics of it, should fans be surprised at the success of the Rays, or does it show that if you have the right kind of foundation, these things can happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think most fans need to understand what the Rays do and how they're able to do that. So, you know, what the Rays have done for the past 10-plus years, really, is, you know, they have a good young group of guys that they put together because they're not trading away their prospects. They never add payroll. So they're not making big deadline deals and trading away prospects. For a long time, they drafted high because they weren't very good. And so, he started in the late 2000s with a bunch of good young players, and I'm sorry, you know, 2008, 9, 10. And so those good young players were drafted, and then when they got good and got expensive, they were traded for more good prospects. And so the reason the payroll is low but the talent level is high is that this is their system. They're never going to be a team to sign big free agents. They're not going to give up draft picks, and they're not going to trade away good young talent and adding payroll. So not many teams can do this. I think, you know, the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox of the world, they're always going to want to keep their stars. They're going to want to, you know, be competitive every single year, and that media market demands it. But the Rays definitely have a little niche here where they can get away with having a low payroll.
Mark Teixeira joining us here on Wake Up Call and Sports Map Radio, talking about the World Series and also the Stand Strong for Men's Health campaign. And for more information on that, visit depend.com/en-us/standstrong. Mark, when it comes to Randy Arozarena, what do you notice about his at-bats that is making him such a threat in this postseason?
He's just an incredible talent. I mean, I don't know how you pitch to this guy. I think the only way the Dodgers can keep him from doing damage is just put the four fingers up and put him on first base. He's hitting balls up in the zone. He's been hitting balls down in the zone. He's got a short, quick swing, hits the ball to all fields. He's a complete player right now. And someone that's really just burst onto the scene really just since September. Because if you'd ask most baseball fans and even most baseball analysts, back when the season started, you know, who's Randy Arozarena? They'd say, oh, I think he was that guy that the Cardinals traded last year.
Yeah, right.
And now he's come up and just become an incredible talent. And he's a must-watch at-bat in baseball right now. And his 7 home runs this postseason, it's a rookie record. And, you know, unless the Dodgers just put him on base with an intentional walk, he's going to keep doing it.
So a lot of people have been asked this question. A lot of the baseball analysts have pondered this, so I'll ask you the same question. What is your analysis of why Clayton Kershaw struggles in October but not during the regular season?
Man, I wish I had a really good answer for you, but I'm going to give you my best guess. My best guess is that, you know, for so long, Clayton Kershaw was the horse of the Dodgers staff. He was that guy that everybody expected to go 8 innings every start. You know, to take the ball in close games and give you those extra innings, those extra outs. So by the time he got to October, he was always pretty beat up. I mean, he had a lot of innings on that arm, a lot of high stress innings. And, you know, the Dodgers never really had a bunch of great starters around him that they could rely on. So what happens in October is you have increasingly stressful situations where a pitcher who might have a few too many miles on his arm by that time of the year just doesn't have the stuff, and maybe his pitches aren't as crisp as they were earlier in the season. That's the best answer I can give, because Clayton Kershaw is a first ballot Hall of Famer. His regular season numbers are incredible. They're like video game numbers. You can't even believe in the offensive world that we live in right now that he's putting up those numbers. Just hasn't been able to get it done in October.
All right, so I'll get you out with this prediction and analysis. You got the Rays and the Dodgers, the loaded lineup against this Rays team that seems to be good in all the right areas. How do you see this series? Who has the edge and why?
Well, I think the Dodgers have the edge just from a talent standpoint, but I am not counting out the Rays. And there's a lot of people that are close to that team, whether from the media or guys that scout the Rays, that say that they just figure out how to win games. And yeah, that's the best thing I can say about Tampa Bay, is they figure out how to get the job done. And whether that's with a big home run or, you know, a hit with men in scoring position, or Charlie Morton going out there and throwing shutout innings in a game 7, the Rays are a great team. You got to give Kevin Cash a ton of credit. But from a pure talent standpoint, you know, you match up this Dodgers team and they're better than anybody in baseball, and they've proved it all year.
Mark Teixeira again joining us here on Wake Up Call, former Major League Baseball player and analyst, also a part of the Stand Strong for Men's Health campaign brought to you by Depend. Really appreciate your time, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mark Teixeira also on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. So I like the Rays. I agree with him. I think this is a team you can't sleep on. Obviously, if a team that beats the Yankees and beats the Astros can beat the Dodgers in this series. But it is a clash of two different styles, and it's one that where the Dodgers are in that sort of element of where people believe you get success in baseball. They've seen the Yankees win the World Series. They've seen the Red Sox win the World Series. They've seen success with the Dodgers. They've seen these sort of high market, high payroll teams become successful, almost forgetting that within the decade, we've seen Kansas City World to World Series. We've seen success from the Pirates getting into the playoffs in the early part of the decade. You've seen Tampa go into the postseason and now making their second World Series appearance in the franchise history in two totally different methods of doing it, going after some big dollar signees and also figuring out, all right, if you're good enough for us to warrant the large payroll, you got to get out of here for other talent to come on in. By the way, Freol, industrial strength Freol spreads deep in rusted and frozen parts that freeze them with ease. Three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done right. Freol also is body shop safe. That means it's safe on paints, plastic parts, and silicone free. Deep penetrating Freol. You can find it at auto parts stores, including Napa, AutoZone, and of course, O'Reilly. We'll come up more thoughts on the NFL as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Our thanks to Mark Teixeira joining us to give us a little preview of the World Series, which starts on Tuesday in Arlington, Texas. Temperatures vary throughout the day, so taking your temperature just in the morning isn't enough. Make it a new family habit to take your temperature with Exergen Temporal Scanners before dinner and in the morning. It's the number one thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. All right, so Monday Night Football tonight, two games, Kansas City and Buffalo. By the way, that's an early start for a lot of you. That is a 5 o'clock start. East Coast time.
Yep. You're going to
4 o'clock for us in the central time zone.
You're going to get to feel what it felt like for me growing up.
That's right. So run home, have your dinner really quick, settle in to watch. That's a good one. That's a good one. Chiefs and Bills.
Yep.
Right? Both teams coming off losses. So that's pretty awesome because you get that little bit of a we ain't doing this again kind of factor. And then you got the Cowboys and Andy Dalton taking on Arizona. Did I give you the Kyler Murray stat before you left for California last week?
No.
Okay, this was the very interesting Kyler Murray stat that somebody found out. He is unbeaten in his lifetime at AT&T Stadium. Kyler Murray won 3 high school state championships in that stadium and then 2 games in college when he played for Texas A&M and Oklahoma. So he's 5-0 all time in that building in his life.
Fantastic.
Isn't that great? It's a good stat.
Probably going to go 6-0.
Yeah, maybe, you know. I know it's meaningless for tonight's game, but nevertheless, I thought it was pretty cool. Seemed like a very interesting tidbit to the game.
No, I don't think it's meaningless. I mean, can he keep that streak going?
Can he? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be cool tonight. if you asked him that and you said, yeah, you're 5-0 all time at this stadium. I know 3 in high school, 2 in college. Any pressure to keep up that record? And just have him go,
really? I'm 5-0 here?
Am I 5-0 here? Really? Thanks for telling me that. I had no idea.
Secretly, he
so
knows.
So pressure.
But in the back of his mind, he's like, yeah,
he doesn't want to admit it. He doesn't want to admit it.
No,
he
wants to play that off.
You got to play that off. You absolutely got to play that off. That's kind of the bold move. That's like when somebody gives Tiger a really cool stat and he pretends like he doesn't know that. It's like, you know, Tiger, you have never lost a tournament in which you make 5 birdies in the third round. And he goes, oh, really? That's amazing. And meanwhile, in the back of his head, he goes, of course I know that.
Yeah.
Of course I know that.
Yeah, because I'm going to make 5 birdies.
I'm going to humble brag and pretend I had no idea.
I think athletes do that all the
time. That was the real thing.
Here's the deal. I think athletes are more in tune with their stats than we are with their stats.
I think so, too. I think a lot of them completely know the details going into it.
I mean, because what's the common thing to say? It would be refreshing if an athlete, you came up to an athlete and said, hey, listen, you know, if you hit 3 more home runs, you're going to catch so-and-so. Because every time you ask them, like, oh, really? Well, I don't really pay much attention to that. I would love for an athlete to go, yeah, you're right. And believe you me, I'm trying to get those 3 home runs. I want to be better than that guy.
Exactly. When I used to do Air Force hockey games, there was one player on the team and that would always want the box score, and the coaches never wanted the players to have the stats for, you know, but he always wanted the box score. So after the game, he'd always go, can I get the box score? And I'd always give it to him, and the coach would always yell at me. It's like, stop giving him the box scores. I don't want him to have the box scores. I go, well, he's asking nicely.
He's asking for it.
It's like, what am I supposed to do?
Sliding $20 bills.
No. He's like, stop giving it to him. I go, what, you know, what am I supposed to do? Say no? He's like a kid. He's like, he wants to know what his numbers were, his ice time and all the little intricate details of what he wants to know. So I gave it to them. They're all interested. They're all curious about their statistics. Of course they are. So anyway, I think it's going to be a fun Monday night doubleheader tonight. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging how
I am too.
Season's going this year.
I got to be honest with you. The Tuesday night game between the Bills and the Titans was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I was a little disappointed this week. I thought maybe we'd get another Tuesday nighter.
It's like a Cracker Jack box, right? You're just like, when are they going to reschedule that? Could it be a Thursday? Could it be a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Throw me a triple header on Monday night? Is that what we're doing?
5 straight days of NFL action?
Sure.
Please?
I think if you're Roger Goodell, that's absolutely on the table, right?
Oh, he's probably sitting there like, yeah, it's just a matter of time.
COVID scrambling it up like an egg.
Yep, we'll have it happen.
Jake Asman Show coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. It's Tony D. Ron Culver. Wake Up Call. Sports Map Radio.